Welcome back.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring understanding digital productivity.
A really, really important topic.
If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along.
Absolutely.
Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. So imagine opening your laptop on a Monday morning and feeling like absolute zero anxiety.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Right. Your week is perfectly mapped out. Your priorities are actually set. And your inbox isn't just, you know, screaming at you. I mean, it sounds a bit like science fiction, doesn't it?
It really does for most people, yeah.
But our mission for this deep dive today is to try and make that your actual reality. We really want to decode what digital productivity actually means for, well, for your academic life and your future career.
Yeah, and it's a profound shift to make, honestly. Yeah. Moving from that feeling of being constantly behind to actually feeling in control.
Mm-hmm.
But to get there, we kind of need to redefine the term itself.
Okay, redefine it how?
Well, digital productivity is not about becoming a machine. It's really not about, you know, staring at a screen for 12 hours a day and just brute forcing your way through assignments.
Oh, thank goodness, because I cannot do that.
Right, nobody can. At its core, productivity means achieving your goals effectively while managing your time, your attention, and your resources wisely. So when we add the word digital to it, we're basically talking about humans using technology, systems, and habits to support those goals.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. So it's less about having like a super-powered robotic assistant doing all the work for you and more about how we manage our own cognitive load using the tools we actually have.
Exactly. You're the one in the driver's seat.
Which makes sense in theory, but let's be honest here. Technology is actively working against us most of the time.
Oh, constantly.
Right. Like, algorithms are designed by brilliant engineers specifically to fracture our attention. Literally every app wants to send you a push notification. So how do we flip the script so the tech actually supports our learning instead of just, you know, pulling us into a 3-hour doom scrolling session?
Yeah, that tension is, well, it's the central challenge of modern work and study. And the solution really lies in a principle we call smart technology use.
Smart technology use. Okay.
Yeah. It requires a really conscious shift from being just a passive consumer of technology to being an active director of it. You basically have to decide what the tool is for before you even open it.
Oh, that's hard. So like going in with a plan?
Right. Because if you open your laptop just to see what's happening, the algorithms are going to decide your path for you.
Oh, 100%. Next thing you know, you're watching videos of people pressure washing driveways.
Exactly. But if you open it with a specific intention, you know, to draft a paper or to review a lecture, you are directing the tool.
Okay, I like that. But intention is, well, it's a great starting point, but intention without a system usually just turns into guilt, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know you should be focused, but you just aren't. And when that relationship breaks down, the toll is super heavy. Looking at the materials, we see things like missed deadlines, way heightened stress, and eventually a really real hit to academic performance.
Yeah, and we can actually look at the psychology behind why that specific stress happens. There's this really fascinating concept in cognitive science called this Zeigarnik effect.
Wait, the Zeigarnik effect? What is that?
Yeah, the Zeigarnik effect. It's basically the psychological tendency for our brains to remember uncompleted or interrupted tasks way better than completed ones.
Oh, wow.
Right. So when your digital life is disorganized, when you have like assignments floating around in your head, unread emails, just loose files scattered all over your desktop, your brain is constantly pinging you with reminders.
It's like having a dozen apps running in the background of your phone, just draining the battery.
That is the perfect analogy. It creates massive cognitive overload. You are literally burning mental energy just trying not to forget things.
Which totally explains why you can feel completely exhausted at the end of a day, even if you haven't actually accomplished anything at all.
Exactly.
Your brain was just running a marathon in the background trying to hold all those uncompleted tasks together. So a strong digital productivity system isn't just about like getting better grades. It's about offloading that mental burden so you can actually just think clearly.
That's the ultimate benefit right there. Yes, you get increased efficiency and better time management, but the real prize is the cognitive relief. You clear that mental fog.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
A highly productive student isn't necessarily studying more hours than a struggling student. They're just utilizing their time and their digital resources much more effectively, which leaves them with way more energy for actual deep focused thinking.
Okay, so if the goal is active direction rather than passive consumption and offloading that mental burden, where does the rubber meet the road here? How do you actually move from this nice theory of being focused to the actual physical mechanics of getting things done?
Right, the practical stuff. That brings us to the architecture of digital workflows.
Digital workflows?
Yeah, a digital workflow is basically the invisible system you create to route your tasks, your files, your communication, and all your responsibilities.
And I want to make sure we don't just tell people to, like, use a calendar. Because, I mean, most of us know what a calendar is. The issue isn't knowing that the tools exist. It's knowing how to connect them, right?
Right. It's about the integration.
Let me try this analogy. Think of a digital workflow like a highly functional, really busy airport. You have all these different systems that absolutely need to talk to each other. So your calendar, say Google Calendar or whatever, that's your air traffic control.
Okay, I like this.
It dictates the hard landscape of your day, you know, when flights are taking off and landing, which translates to your classes, your meetings, and your hard deadlines.
That framework is perfect for illustrating the integration we need. So if the calendar is air traffic control, then your task manager, like an app like Todoist, for instance, that's the ground crew and baggage claim.
Oh, the ground crew.
Right. It sorts out all the specific tiny actions that need to happen today for those flights to actually succeed. Things like read chapter 4, email the professor, outline the essay. Those aren't events. They're tasks.
Right, right. And if air traffic control isn't communicating with the ground crew, the whole system just collapses.
Completely.
You have planes circling and lost luggage literally everywhere. And then, I guess to finish the analogy, you need a hangar, a place to store the planes and the maintenance manuals.
Yeah,
so that would be your workspace tool, something like Notion or Google Drive, where you organize your actual academic materials, your reference notes, and all your project files.
Yes. Integrating those three distinct areas, time management, task management, and information storage, that is what creates a seamless workflow. Let's look at a quick micro scenario to show how this functions in reality.
Let's do it.
Okay. So imagine an email comes in from a professor with a new group project assignment. A student with, well, poor digital productivity might read that email, think, I need to do that later, and just leave it sitting in their inbox.
Oh, I've been there.
Right. And now they are relying on the Zeigarnik effect. Their brain literally has to remember it.
And every single time they look at their inbox, they feel that little spike of anxiety.
Exactly. But a student with a functional workflow handles it entirely differently. They read the email.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately capture the action items and put them into their task manager.
The ground crew.
The ground crew, yes. Then they look at their calendar, air traffic control, and they block out 2 hours on Thursday specifically to work on it. Finally, they save the syllabus PDF into their workspace, the hangar.
And then the email is just archived.
It's archived. The mind is clear. The system is holding the responsibility, not the student's memory.
Wow, that transition from just keeping it in your head to actually trusting the system, that feels like a massive turning point. The lesson actually highlights this case study of a student who was just drowning in that exact feeling of overwhelm, that kind of junk drawer stress of relying on memory for everything.
A very common feeling.
Yeah. And when they finally mapped out their tasks, prioritized them in a digital system, and cleared all that clutter, their assignment completion went up. But more importantly, their baseline anxiety just completely plummeted.
Because they finally built a trustworthy system. And, you know, while we are discussing this in the context of a university student managing coursework, we really need to look ahead here. These exact organizational habits are not just like college study hacks. They are the literal bedrock of future career success.
Okay, let's pull that thread. Because the stakes shift dramatically once you graduate, don't they? If my personal system crashes today as a student, I might, like, miss a reading assignment or get a lower grade on a paper. It hurts me, but the blast radius is pretty small.
Right.
What happens when we take these digital habits into the actual modern workplace?
Well, the blast radius becomes team-wide. So imagine a future workplace scenario. You step into a role managing multiple projects across a hybrid team.
Okay.
You have some colleagues in the office. Some are working remotely from totally different time zones, maybe a few external contractors. The days of just tapping someone on the shoulder to ask for a file or a quick update, those are largely gone.
Yeah, you are relying so heavily on asynchronous communication now. Like if I'm working at 2:00 p.m. my time, and my graphic designer is working at 2.0 a.m. their time, we have to be able to collaborate without actually speaking to each other in real time.
Which means your success relies entirely on the digital workflow we just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
In a professional environment, the workflow actually is the communication.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, if you are organizing your files seamlessly in a shared workspace, and you're tracking responsibilities clearly in a collaborative task manager, the hybrid team just functions effortlessly. Everyone knows exactly where the documents are, when the deliverables are due, and who is accountable for what.
But if your personal digital habits are just a mess, like if your calendar isn't updated or you lose a crucial client brief in your downloads folder somewhere, you literally become the bottleneck for the entire operation.
Exactly.
It isn't just about your personal stress anymore. You could stall a multi-million dollar project just because your personal air traffic control went down.
That is the harsh reality of the modern digitally enabled career. Tools like Notion, Google Calendar, Asana, or Microsoft Teams, they are the architecture of modern collaboration.
Yeah.
So when you learn to use a task manager to prioritize your university homework today, you are actively training the exact muscle you'll need to manage complex professional projects tomorrow. You are literally learning the language of the future workplace.
You know, hearing us lay all of this out, like the integrations, the task managers, the calendars, the shared workspaces, I'm actually getting a little stressed just thinking about having to set it all up.
It can sound like a lot.
There is a very real trap here, isn't there? Like, we can get so obsessed with building the perfect system that the system itself becomes a second full-time job.
Oh, yes. The endless tweaking.
I have absolutely fallen victim to downloading, like, a shiny new productivity app, spending 3 hours color coding all my tasks, setting up these incredibly complex automations, and then just feeling completely paralyzed by how much I had scheduled for myself.
Yeah.
How do we prevent these tools from just becoming another source of exhaustion?
That is such a crucial observation, and it requires us to bring back that concept of smart technology use,
right,
but apply it to our own mental health and our responsible tech habits.
Right.
We established earlier that organization reduces stress and cognitive load, right? But we also have to acknowledge that overly complex tech use, what some people call productivity porn, that actively causes stress.
Productivity porn, wow.
Yeah, it creates this false sense of accomplishment where you are managing work instead of actually doing the work.
Oh, that hits close to home. So how do we stop the system from becoming like a prison of endless to-do lists? How do we evaluate when a tool has just stopped serving us?
Responsible use means setting incredibly firm boundaries. And not just with algorithms or social media, but with your own productivity systems. Technology must strictly support your goals and your focus.
Period.
Exactly. If a specific app requires more time to maintain than the time it actually saves you, it is failing. If a highly complex, beautifully color-coded calendar is creating anxiety rather than clarity, you really need to be willing to strip it back to the absolute basics.
Right. The tool has to justify its existence in your life. It has to earn its place on your home screen or in your workflow.
It really does. Furthermore, responsible digital productivity recognizes that rest is a vital resource. There is this concept called attention residue.
Attention residue.
Yes. It suggests that every time you quickly glance at an inbox or a task list during your off hours, a piece of your attention remains stuck on that unresolved task.
Oh, wow.
And that prevents you from fully recharging. So if your workflow involves getting push notifications about work at, say, 11:00 p.m., that is a failure in digital productivity. Managing your boundaries and your downtime is just as important as managing your actual work time.
That is a really empowering way to look at it, actually. The goal isn't to be constantly plugged in and producing all the time. The goal is to be effective when you work so you can fully, completely disconnect when you rest.
Exactly.
Recognizing that everyone's relationship with technology is unique and that we all have different, you know, tipping points for stress and distraction. How do you suggest someone actually evaluate their current setup? Like, where do we actually begin the upgrade process?
Well, the most practical starting point is the productivity audit. This is the core application activity outlined in our lesson for today. It is a structured, totally honest evaluation of your current state, and it's broken into three specific steps.
Okay, walk us through them. Step one.
First, you need to identify your real productivity bottlenecks. And don't just look for generic problems here. Find the specific pain points.
Like what?
Like, are you consistently underestimating how long your course readings take? Are you constantly losing focus during asynchronous video lectures? Or maybe you're spending 20 minutes a day just searching for files you know you've already downloaded.
Oh, the lost downloads folder, the worst. So you're identifying the actual friction in your day. And then step two.
Second, audit the tools you already have. Just write them all down. Your calendar, your notes app, your messaging platforms, even the specific browser tabs you keep open permanently. Lay out all the tools currently in your toolkit.
Which naturally leads to the third step, the actual evaluation, right?
Exactly. Looking at that list and asking the really hard questions. Does keeping your phone right on your desk while studying actually serve you? Or is it a crutch that reduces your output?
Probably a crutch.
Does your current note-taking app make it easy to retrieve information when you need it for an essay? Or is it basically just a digital black hole where your ideas go to die?
That evaluation phase is where the actual growth happens. You really have to be ruthless about discarding habits and tools that just introduce friction.
You do.
So I'm going to directly challenge you, the listener, with the core reflection prompts from this module. I want you to ask yourself right now, how can I use technology more intentionally to improve my academic and personal productivity? Just think about the friction you experienced just this past week. What is one specific thing you could change today to reduce that cognitive load?
And when you answer that prompt, my absolute strongest advice is to start small.
Yeah.
Do not attempt to overhaul your entire digital life in one afternoon.
No, please don't.
You will inevitably experience burnout and you'll abandon the new system within a week. Instead, choose one singular point of friction. Perhaps you just start by mastering your time blocking. Just put all your classes, study sessions, and very importantly, your downtime into Google Calendar and commit to following it for just 5 days.
Or maybe you focus entirely on the ground crew. You just start using a task manager to write down the three and only three most important things you need to accomplish each morning before you even check any social media.
That's a great approach. Master one simple mechanism before trying to build an elaborate interconnected workflow. Taking those small, really practical steps is what builds long-term capability. As you see the small system work, you learn to trust it.
And that trust builds your confidence. You transition from feeling overwhelmed by your digital environment to realizing you are actually the one architecting it.
That realization is incredibly powerful.
It really is. So, just to synthesize everything we've explored today, we know that true digital productivity dramatically improves efficiency and the quality of your output. We know that deliberate organization directly offloads that cognitive burden, reducing your stress right now and preparing you to be a super reliable collaborator in your future career.
Absolutely.
We've seen how integrating a calendar, a task manager, and a workspace creates a totally reliable workflow. And most importantly, we have to remember that technology must support our goals. It's a tool designed to serve your focus, not a master that's permitted to dictate your attention.
Perfectly summarized. You know, the digital landscape is going to continue to evolve. New apps will launch. AI will become way more integrated into our workspaces. Mm-hmm. And the whole definition of hybrid work will probably shift again.
Guaranteed.
But the foundational skills, the ability to adapt, to build smart workflows, and to fiercely protect your focus, those will always remain premium, future-ready capabilities.
Which leaves me with one final, slightly provocative thought for you to mull over as we wrap up this session. We spend so much time searching for the perfect software, you know, the flawless system, the ultimate life hack. But what if the ultimate productivity hack isn't downloading the newest app or buying the most expensive tablet, but finally mastering your own attention?
That is a very powerful provocation. And it's exactly the kind of critical thinking we need as we navigate all these tools. I want to strongly encourage you to stay curious about how you interact with technology. Be deeply responsible with your tech habits, fiercely protect your time, and just remain future ready.
Absolutely. And to make sure these concepts really stick, be sure to review the end of module study guide and definitely complete the workbook activities. Sitting down and actually doing that productivity audit we discussed today is going to be a total game changer for your workflow.
We also want to formally acknowledge the foundational reference materials that informed all the concepts in this deep dive. Getting Things Done by David Allen, published in 2001, which really pioneered the task management frameworks we all use today.
Classic.
Deep Work by Cal Newport, published in 2016, and Digital Minimalism, also by Cal Newport, published in 2019.
Amazing resources. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Thank you, and we look forward to exploring more with you soon.